Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. It's okay to go into the Word, right? We didn't have any more song music. Dear Father, we're excited about getting into the Word of God. We just love You, Father. We love to praise and worship You. We know what our redemption means to us. Father, we thank You for it. Father, I thank You for all the wonderful people that have come out this morning to find out about the goodness of God. If they don't know Him, Father, when we get through today, they will know Him. Hallelujah. Father, You love man. You love mankind. You didn't come into the world to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through You. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank You for this wonderful privilege. We thank You for the wonderful redeeming power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for resurrection. Hallelujah. And today we're going to know what resurrection means, Father, and the purpose of it. And Father, help us all to understand. Help us all to understand so we can deal with business today and get our hearts where they belong if they're not. Because, Father, You have such a mighty salvation. And Father, we know this world isn't going anywhere fast except down. Father, we want to rescue as many as we can through the love of You. Quicker than anything else, it is Your love that leads men to change and newness to life. And so today my message came out. May it come out real clear that people would understand. So they have hope for their salvation in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen and amen. Well, if you will open up to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he's writing something. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's what Easter is all about. To celebrate resurrection power. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Well, today we're going to show you why it is so important for our 4th of July. You know, like the world has their 4th of July. That was the United States independence. They have a certain day that we celebrate that, which is July 4th. But you know what? Easter is our 4th of July. It's when we celebrate resurrection. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about that. I'm just now getting a greater meaning to what our Lord has done for mankind. It just thrills me. Just thrills me. So Paul says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. The word power here is where we get the word dunamis. It literally means achieving ability. So he's saying that by knowing Him, then I would know His achieving ability through His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings would be conformed to His death. Being conformed to His death. And he goes on to say, if by any means I may attain to the out-resurrection from the dead. Boy, Paul was really saying a mouthful there because many people don't really understand the importance of a person receiving Jesus and being born again. Now, we know that being born again is important because in John chapter 3, Jesus makes that real clear to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Him at night when he couldn't be seen by anybody and said, Jesus, what must I do to enter into heaven? And Jesus turned to him and said, you must be born again. A lot of people don't understand that term, being born again. Even knowing about being born again, they still don't know the fullness of being born again. You know, Sue can testify that I've been born again 38 years. 38 years. And as I've been receiving fresh and new insight as to the fullness of what I inherited as a believer from the day I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to the Lord. And my oldest son, Mikey, followed. What a day that was. And wasn't it, was it on Easter? It was on your water baptism, Sonny's water baptism. And I knew Sonny before she got saved. Glory to God. What a salvation. And you know what it did? It spoke volumes to me. Mainly because I knew her so well after the flesh. I noticed a marked change in her when she received Jesus. Matter of fact, when she was getting water baptized, I've shared this with you, there was a glow about her face. She didn't look like the same Sunny to me. I was used to the Sunny of sin. I wasn't used to the Sunny of resurrection. And so I didn't understand what in the world she was doing, but she was getting water baptized. But I'm telling you, that made an impression on my life. I'm going to tell you, people, whether you believe it or not, if you know how to be loving people and being a good witness or testimony to your risen Lord with people, you can win them to the Lord. And so, Sonny, when I looked at her face, I can remember sitting in that pew to this day. And that preacher, he preached Jesus being alive, dying, and go to hell and coming back to life. And I hardly understood anything he said. But boy, I'll tell you what, sitting in my seat, Jesus was talking to me. I understood what he was saying to me personally. Even though I didn't understand what the preacher was saying, I knew what Jesus was saying to me. Sitting there, Jesus said to me, "Are you ready to give up that old life?" And you know what floated by me? My favorite beer. Cigarettes. I'll be darned if I ever give that stuff up. You know that old life? And man, it was gnawing at me. I'll tell you one thing about my wife. She never preached to me, but she sure did shine. And every time she came home from church, she was shining. And you know what that did? It presented Jesus in a big way to me. I couldn't run from Him. I was working in the garage and she's going to church, and I'm working in the garage restoring this old Chevy. I can't even remember the year. And our garbage cans in the garage, the top of the garbage can was here, but the bottle stopped here. And the lid was on top of the bottles, holding the bottles into the can. I had my stash of dope. I was happy. Till Jesus started getting on my case. And I'm sitting there working on an old car, and I'm getting tanked, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's Jesus staring me right in the face. So I looked away, and I started working, and when I looked away, Jesus is standing in my face. I looked the other way. He's there. And you know how He looked? Not judgment. He looked, "I love you." Oh. Sue would come home all beaming. "Where'd you go today?" "Church." She didn't preach to me. She didn't tell me to go. Oh, that slick woman. You know what keeps people out of the kingdom of God? When you threaten them with the kingdom of God. That drives them further. But when you love on them, it does something. You know what it does? It removes your excuse for not going to church. So I went to church and I see Sonny go down under and come up beaming. Boy, that message spoke to me. And you know what? I found myself running down the aisle and my head was saying, "What are you doing? This
this is crazy. I go in the back and I sit down. The guy asked me all these questions. I didn't understand one of them, but I said, yep, yeah, I did that. Yep, yep, I did that. So then he hands me the paper for membership, and I said, no, I'm going to go to that church down there where they speak in tongues. He ushered me right out of the church. But nevertheless, I gave my heart to Jesus. And you know what? That was 38 years ago, 1971. Out of the 38 years that I'd given my heart to the Lord, I should say it this way, I was saved for 38 years. But only 18 of those 38 years was Jesus my Lord. 20 of it, He was my Savior only. I was in and out of church, bounced around, until finally He got a hold of my heart through the Word of God in such a way that I stuck. And never broke the fellowship. Before that, I was in and out all the time, popcorn, you know. But finally, I stuck to the wall. I had to sit down with myself and make my mind up. Am I going to live for the Lord or not? And so that was 18 years ago, and I was pastoring this church. And you know something? Even though I didn't go back into the world for 20 of those years, I was not in fellowship with the Lord where I belonged, if you know what I'm talking about. And thank God, 18 years ago, I made that decision right up there in my office that I will never, ever get cold in my heart towards the Lord again. That's what I call not living for God, being cold in my heart towards Him. So for 18 years, He's been my fire. He's been my light. His Word consumes me. And I love Him so much. And if you get to know Him, guess what will happen? He'll possess you. He'll possess your every thought and your every life. And then you will begin to see the operation of your flesh with your spirit. And the two can't walk together very well. They're opposed to one another. But when Jesus hung on that cross, it wasn't until just recently I made a step in a direction I'd been seeing things go that I made a decision to go in that direction in my understanding, and I've been sharing it with the body, mostly on Wednesday nights, about the position that Jesus has declared our physical body as a believer. To an unbeliever, He has not done this, but to a believer, He has done this. I had realized that when Jesus was suspended on the cross, how many of you ever seen the movie The Passion? Powerful movie. Even when we went to see it, a lady led a gang member to the Lord right there in the foyer after seeing it. I'll never forget the gang member. He looked at that little lady and said, "Why did He do that for me? Why did He do it?" And I remember her saying, "'Cause He loves you. Because He loves you." Powerful. Powerful. You know, Jesus said, right in John chapter 3, He said, "I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but the world might be saved through me." He says, those that are condemned, they're condemned already because they have not believed upon me. But whoever begins to believe upon me, them I will save, and they shall not perish. So mankind doesn't really realize the real wonderful work of Jesus and His resurrection. Many people don't understand why He had to be raised from the dead. Well, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about how Jesus, His physical body saved me. And I never could figure out how His physical body could ever save me. I thought in resurrection power that I got born again. And that's what saved me. But I didn't know that my salvation was really what took place on the cross for me.
When Jesus was on the cross, many people said it was the fulfilling of the Abrahamic covenant. It was the fulfilling of the Mosaic covenant. It was fulfilling of all this and all that, different concepts. But until recently, when I understood the position that my body had been placed in through the fall of Adam, and why my spirit became locked up from the kingdom of God, is because it was housed in this physical body that had fallen as a result of the nature of death that began in Adam. And so, as the Lord was leading me through that wonderful book of Romans chapter 7, I began to realize some wonderful truths. Thank God I'm born again. But as that Romans chapter 7 come alive to me here the last couple of years, mostly the last year with John, I looked back on the cross and I saw Jesus. When I went home one day and I looked at the movie, The Passion. I wanted to look at it again. In that movie, people, I'm going to tell you, even though he was a movie actor that put that movie together, he did a wonderful job at expressing the love that Jesus has for mankind. And when I saw Jesus on that cross and he lifted his eyes up and he said, "Father, it is finished." And he bowed his head in death. He was referring to the completion of putting the physical man, the physical body, to death. It's finished. He crucified the body in his acts of righteousness. So when he took the test to life, he gave us the passing grade. And not only to a believer, but also to the unbeliever. Resurrection. People, resurrection, the resurrection power, is not for believers only, but also for those who don't believe. It is the love of God bringing the ability of mankind to come back into fellowship with their Maker. Glory to God. When I saw that my body meant taking up my cross, literally meant to look at the cross where Jesus died and see the position he had declared my physical body, dead. Then I knew 18 years ago, that's what I did. I no longer wanted my physical man to rule me anymore. It began to make a change in my home, my children, my friends, because I saw that there was a greater life beyond my physical being called spiritual life. And that is a part of me that had been resurrected to newness of His resurrection. You know, I have this writing that I wrote down. I got it off some information about the cross, the Roman cross. And this is what I got out of it. The cross is a symbol of death. It stands for the abrupt, violent end of a man, of a human being. The man in Romans' time who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. He was not coming back. He was going out to have it ended. The cross made no compromise, modified nothing, and spared nothing. It slew all of the man completely and for good. It did not try to keep on good terms with its victim. It struck cruel and hard. And when it had finished its work, the man was no more. The cross is what begins the true wisdom for man's existence.
You can have all these other religions of the world, but Jesus is the only way. He's the only one that died for everyone. He's the only one that could, because He was the only one that came out of the loins of His Heavenly Father. When I was reading some of the manuscripts that man had recovered from the Vatican that were written 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking this earth. When I was reading the manuscripts and how they were writing and how they had a right to crucify Jesus and destroy Him, I think I then began to understand the compassion that Jesus has for mankind, because they did not know what they were doing. But I'll never forget Caiaphas and his testimony. I'm giving you a testimony of Caiaphas from the Archico volume. It said that he was writing a letter to the Roman government, or the Sanhedrin government. And he was saying that I have to make an appeal to step down, for it seems as if Jesus has risen from the dead. And presently I have guards about my house to protect me, for I am the one that crucified Him. And so they're guarding the way to my house, and I'm here with my father-in-law and sister. He said, but I think that I'm fully protected, for I now know that there is truth, that He has seemingly somehow risen from the dead. He said, and then when I was sitting there, I turned and there stood Jesus. He says, I began to quake and tremor. I couldn't hardly stand up. I almost wanted to faint until He opened His mouth and began to speak. And when He began to speak, I gained strength to stand there. And He said, Caiaphas, your heart is wicked and evil, but you have offered your last sacrifice. For it not only reached the world, but it has reached to you, Caiaphas. And all you have to do is receive. Receive me. And then He said, He fell to His knees and began to weep bitterly. And then when He looked up, Jesus was gone. He said, so those of you that have been with me for so long, He says, you must understand that I need to go and search Scripture. I've got to see for sure that this is the Messiah, which I think it might be. And according to the anti-Nicene fathers, they were the converts of the apostles. They left many witnesses that Caiaphas gave his heart to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? That's the power of God, people. The very ones that want to destroy what God is doing in the earth are the ones that turn the earth from death. Caiaphas killed the physical body of Jesus, but it was a sacrifice for His life. Incredible. So then the church, Paul the apostle, was going to murder the church. In essence, he was trying to stamp out the spiritual side and didn't know it. He says, but I did it in my ignorance. He says, because Jesus appeared to him. And he said, what must I do, Lord? And his whole life changed. So you see how powerful God is. The very ones that want to destroy the kingdom of God, God uses to promote the kingdom of God with. Here Paul was a murderer of anyone who professed Christ, Jesus Christ. And God used him to save the church. He ended up writing 3/4 of the New Testament. And he was so consumed by God, he said, to know the power of his out resurrection and the suffering, what he suffered, that I might obtain to the same thing. Some ministers call Philippians there a desire for ministry, and it was now nothing to do with ministry. He said, I desire to know Jesus in his fullness so that I can conform completely to his image in my inner man. The body of Christ in Hebrews chapter 10 and Romans chapter 7 and Hebrews 9. All of these chapters, all of these places says that we were saved through the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, he couldn't crucify everyone and judge them for sin that was operating in their physical being, because that's where the death nature lodged itself, in the world. And the world was caught into this death nature, this sin. It was in their body, their flesh, and who's ever been born from Adam on possessed that nature in their body. And over time, their spiritual being got locked up in the physical body. And they didn't know that they were spiritual beings doomed to eternal damnation. Well, the body goes to the grave, but the spirit doesn't. I'm going to quote some things that tell you that man is a tripart being. And the reason I want to quote these to you is I want to put across the point to you today of the purpose of resurrection. We say it in easy terms, but me as a minister, the deeper I go with the understanding of the Word of God, because I'm praying a lot in tongues over the Word, I'm beginning to see how complicated it can be for the carnal mind, but how simpler salvation becomes when you obtain it through the spiritual mind. But it's hard to find words to convey what is so dear and precious to Father about man's salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "And the God of peace, may He sanctify you complete and entire of you, the spirit and the soul and the body, blameless in the presence of the Lord." So we find that verse says, man has three parts to him. He has a spirit, he has a soul, and he occupies a physical body. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my soul troubled me." So Daniel, evidently being a prophet, knew man is a tripart being. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, before the fall, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of ground," the body, "and breathed into his nostrils the spirit of lives," plural, actually living ones, "while he breathed into him the life of the body and the spirit." And then it says, "And man became a speaking spirit." This was before the fall. So Adam and Eve didn't know themselves from the viewpoint of physical only. They knew themselves also from the viewpoint of a spiritual being. Until a man gets born again, he doesn't see himself as a spiritual being. He can know about spiritual things, but if they have no value from the image of the cross, he really doesn't know himself as a spiritual being. So thank God for resurrection. Because resurrection power literally means that if Jesus rose from the dead, then he being the firstborn from the dead means that there's numbers that follow the firstborn, which means that if you and I confess Jesus as the Lord of our life, we become one of them numbers from the firstborn. Yes. Glory to God!
I'm not going to perish, but I'm going on into eternity with the risen Lord. And thank God He has redeemed me from my physical body of death, that I might serve Him out of spiritual life in Him. Just here recently, I have experienced a power leaving my physical being in the victory of praying for, even for the sick. And the Lord said to me, He says, the more you become sanctified from your body, the more power will flow through your spirit.
Yes.
Somebody came up to me and said, glory to God, you prayed for me. You have no idea the miracle. And I said, no, I didn't. Because sometimes you don't realize where you are when you come to fresh new light. Well, you know what? If there was a way that I could have God instruct me how to work through your body of flesh for your healing, every one of you in this room would get healed. But the problem is, your body of flesh has what you call carnal thinking. And that will stop the flow of divine healing every time. It'll stop the flow of salvation. It'll stop the flow of everything. Because the body is encased in the nature of death from the fall of Adam on. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. So the spirit is a dimension of man which deals with the spiritual realm. The part of man that comes to know God. The soul is a dimension of man which deals with the mental realm. Man's intellect. The sensibilities and will. The part that reasons and thinks. The part that man knows he exists. This is called the soul. Then we have the body, the dimension of man which deals with the physical realm. The house in which we live that has the nature of death operating in it presently in every one of us. Now, we have what we call an outward man. That is the body. And we have what we call the inner man, which is a spirit and soul. It's made up of two parts. Not one, but two. The spirit and the soul. This is the inward man. The soul and spirit are eternally united. When the body dies, the spirit and soul of man departs. We find this in Luke 16, 19 through 24. When he said, the rich man said to Abraham, or to Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he said, I am in a place of torment. And he says, I would like Abraham to, or Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue and cool it. For I am a man in torment. Well, you know, he wasn't talking about his physical being. It was his inward man. People are wondering today whether a hell does exist. People, hell does exist. But hell was not prepared for mankind. God did not prepare hell for any man that was born from the loins of Adam. He prepared hell for the devil and his much, and he expected Adam to put him there. No wonder Paul knew the importance of placing his body into a slave position, that it would not tell him anything when it come to knowing God and when it come to performing God. This man knew how to put his flesh down to the degree that he was the only one capable of having enough inward anointing coming out of him that it took scarves and cloth to put on his body and smear that anointing off of him to put it on somebody else to get healed. He was so connected to God spiritually.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, I've learned something. I'm not going to be a believer that beats the air, not having an opponent to deal with. He says, I know who my opponent is. He said, my opponent is my body. And when it rebels, he says, I deal it a blow and bring it as a slave unto my living. Well, why in the world didn't he bring up the devil? I'll tell you why he didn't bring up the devil. Whenever Paul dealt with the devil, he always told the believer his position over the devil, because he's already a defeated foe. And Satan wants us to keep our bodies alive and having the body an authority over us, so that Satan can use your physical body as a medium to control your life with. He doesn't want you to get too spiritual, because when you get too spiritual, you'll remove his medium by which he uses to operate against you, and you might get on fire for God and start doing the things God asks you to do, and you might discover one day, oh, he's my Lord. Thank God I'm free. Thank God he said, it is finished. He put my body to death on the cross, and all wisdom now comes from that death. God, I am free. I am free. Now don't tell me I'm free from the devil. That's obvious. Scripture lays it out real clear. But we have hid the victory of where our body has kept until we have the Holy Spirit reveal Him through Romans 7. Our translators didn't know how to translate some of the verses because it takes a deeper understanding of spiritual things to get it. And so they put words to it didn't mean. But I'm going to close with this. Turn over to Romans 7. Romans 7. And I'm going to show you why our Lord Jesus is so amplified in resurrection power. Romans chapter 5 tells us that all men have no hope. Romans chapter 6 says, now we do. Because the body of sin had been destroyed. How was my body of sin destroyed? Put on the cross. How was it put on a cross? Through Jesus' body. If a man would take up his cross. If a man would take up... How many of you got saved? Amen. Oh, you took up your cross. Right. Do you know why they hated John the Baptist? You know why Herod hated John the Baptist? And the Jew? Because John the Baptist and Jesus introduced something fresh and new. They said it was no longer necessary to promote circumcision. You know what that means? It means the cutting away of the flesh. The cutting away of the flesh. That's circumcision. Everybody got that? Well, that was all right for the Old Testament believer. But from the New Testament believer, through the body of Jesus, we now have, through His body and resurrection, we have received the circumcision. That's why we don't have to do it in our flesh no more. Although you can, it's a health thing, but are you following what I'm saying? We no longer have to perform that. What do we have to perform? Water baptism. What's that mean? It means through the circumcision of the body of Christ, that was our body, we now have the ability, oh, I want you to get this, to bury that old man in baptism. Yes. Bury him. Poop. And then come up in newness of life. Yes. I said, what if a believer does water baptism and he comes up after having signified cleansing himself from the old man, then walk his Christianity out through his body? And it wasn't like the Lord said this, but I saw this picture in my mind of a believer going into water baptism and you baptizing him. You would have probably been better off leaving him there.
till the physical man did die. Then his spiritual being would be resurrected. No more life. But the problem is, when his spirit goes, we can't see it. That's what it's symbol of. That's why Jesus asked him, whom can you say, whether it was of God or not, or from heaven, John's baptism? Well, we know now the reason that John, his baptism of repentance, people, was from heaven. If it was a new way of introducing what circumcision was all about. And that's why the Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them hated Jesus, because he was violating their religion. Your physical body is at constant work against the kingdom of God in you. And if you allow your house to be divided, Satan can come in and remove everything that God has garnished you with to succeed with. You have got to put that body to the place that Jesus said it's got to go. Jesus said if a man would take up his cross, he says the gates of hell, the government structure of Satan himself, can't even come against this type of person. Because you've removed where his government structure can operate through. I gave myself over to my physical being as a believer for 20 years. The last 18, my body is no longer going to be how I receive revelation or how I become obedient to my Lord. Now, it's a scary place to be. But when I saw the position of my body being put to death on the cross, I went home. And this wasn't all that long ago. I went home and I sat and I literally wept. Because I came to the realization of what I was allowing to live in my life that was definitely flesh versus that which was spiritual. And when you come to yourself, it really wakes you up. Because then all lying, all complacency, all dullness of hearing, everything that your body can produce in you against the kingdom of God has to come to a stop. And that's not easy for a lot of Christians that are carnal. That's why the Lord told me that when by His Word raises up, He says no carnal believer will be able to remain. Because you will indict his physical being every time. And if he gives himself to his body, he won't stay under the Word. Because then he has to crucify it. Thank God, I have learned the position that my spirit has been declared through the resurrection of Jesus. Thank God for that. I thank God that I understood the authority of the believer through the Kenneth Hagin ministry. That is so precious to me. But thank God, recently I've learned the position that my body has been declared. And now I can go into the full power that God intended. Do you guys get something here this morning? Beloved, sometimes it just don't make sense. Follow me now, we're closing. It just doesn't make sense of such a great salvation. And to live our whole life out through our physical man, who has the nature of death that is at work within it. Even to this present hour. It even works in me. I'm not getting younger. Amen. Because the body will not only perish, it'll never see heaven. It has to be changed to a glorified body. Thank God I got one. Thank God Jesus has got my DNA and I'm going to receive a glorified body. How about you all? If you didn't believe that, then you would be men most miserable. That's why Paul, to the Corinthian church, the Corinthians didn't want to believe that you were going to get a resurrected body. Because the Corinthians knew how foul the body was. And Paul says, if you don't believe in resurrection, then you're men most miserable still here in this present world. And when it's over, you're dead like an animal. He says, or else why would the dead bury the dead if there be no resurrection at all? And what he was talking about, why would people
who literally are in death begin to baptize in death for resurrection. That's water baptism. Now, we have a certain religion now that goes and baptizes the dead. But listen, if they hadn't received Christ while they were still breathing, you can't pray them. You can't pray for them to come back to life. They made their choice. They go into eternity, eternal deaths. Now, God told me, I said, God, what is coming for this world? He says, worse things. Let me be more specific. What is coming, even though this world's getting worse for me as a believer? He says, you'll enter into a greater degree of understanding, of light, therefore you enter into more peace. Amen. He says, you'll be one of them guys that'll look up and see the whole world fall, going to hell in a handbasket, and you'll look up into the eyes of heaven itself, and you will say, thank you, Father, that my final redemptive work for my glorified body is coming, and it's coming soon. Yeah. I can't hardly wait to get my glorified body. How about you? Do you know what? It won't be restricted to physical things. Jesus sat and had dinner after his resurrection with the apostles on the shore. And then went and met him in the house afterwards. And the fish did not stick to the wall when his body walked through it. I can't wait for my glorified being. But you know what? If you're here this morning, if you never confess Jesus as your Savior, then that means your spirit is united with your physical body. Judgment will fall on the physical man in the end. But Jesus wants you to remove yourself from it now and receive resurrection life. That is your victory to overcome this world with that is decaying rapidly. How many can agree to that? Thank God we're here as believers. You know why? We're called the salt of the earth. We have to remain here as long as God wants to preserve it until more people are brought in. And then when God sees that there are more coming in or less coming in than going out, I believe He'll call I believe that's when He'll make the shout. When the scales get tipped in the opposite direction. We don't know when that is. I heard it was 1988, but we know that isn't true. But guess what? We wouldn't be here. Amen. I do believe it says in the end times, the signs in the heaven will increase. Well, you turn on the History Channel, you got signs increasing everywhere. Oh, yeah. You know why they're doing it? That's the devil's way of preparing mankind for an excuse when the church goes. Yeah. Well, I know where the church went. Well, I was told it was a rapture. Space. Aliens took them. They're all gone because of aliens. Now, those of us that have been in church but never got born again, that's going to be a hard person to admit that an alien took somebody. Because they're going to have that understanding of the doctrine of rapture in their thinking. And in Revelation chapter 7, John's the one that brought it up to me. We've been trying to look for an end time revival in our dispensation. But John, he said, I found an end time revival, but it's during tribulation. And it says myriads of people come into the kingdom of God through tribulation. I told you. So today, if you're here and you've known the Lord at one time, stand up, everybody. You've known Him at one time. Your wonderful Savior at one time. And this morning you came to church. And praise the Lord that you did. Well, this morning we don't want you to feel any condemnation. Because you've been out of church and been out of fellowship with the Lord. He doesn't want you to feel condemned for that. But seeing how you're here, you have the opportunity to get back to that place of fellowship with Him. That's all so important to Him for you.
It might not be as important to you, but it's, Jesus is very concerned about where you're at. If you've allowed yourself to slip away from His presence, you can come back into His presence today and reconnect, and then let God draw near to you again. And if you're here today and you've never made that sinner's prayer and you'd like to, you'd like to come into the kingdom of God, and you recognize that there is no life beyond this life, but there's eternal life in Jesus. But it begins now when you give your heart to Him. Listen, there is no way a person can work their way into that kingdom of heaven. There's no way you can be good enough to qualify for the kingdom of heaven. All is required of you is to say the sinner's prayer and let Jesus cause you to become born again. It's free. It's not done by works. You can be a nice guy and still go to hell. But I want you to be a nice guy and go with us to heaven.
Amen.
So if you're here and you know that you need to do the sinner's prayer, at the end of the service, we want you to come up. If you're out of fellowship, we want you to reestablish your faith at the end of the service. We'll have altar ministers here waiting for you. And there are people here that might need physical healing. We'll pray for you and let God's redemptive work heal the body. And so with that said, Father, I thank You for Your wonderful people. I thank You for Your wonderful salvation. And Father, I commend Your wonderful people for coming to church this Easter Sunday. I don't condemn them, I commend them for it. For Father, we are rejoicing that they've joined us. And we love them for it. And Father, bless their life in Jesus' name.